Happy listeners, this is Ro on 90.1 WUSB with your Concert Billboard update for Sunday, March the 8th. Tonight, Shabba Ranks will be appearing at the Palladium. On Monday, March the 9th, we have U2 and the Pixies at Nassau Coliseum. On Tuesday, March the 10th, the Allman Brothers Band will be appearing at the Beacon Theater, and Macho Parker and Johnny Johnson will be at the Blue Note. On Wednesday, March the 11th, Tanya Tucker and Mark Colley will be at Westbury Music Fair, Mr. Big and Tall Stories will be at the Ritz, and Shabba Ranks will be at the Palace Theater. On Thursday, March the 12th, we have MSG and XYZ at the Marquee. On Friday, March the 13th, we have George Strait and Colin Ray appearing at Westbury Music Fair. Agnostic Front will be appearing at the Ritz, and Coco Taylor and her Blues Machine will be at the Marquee. And on Saturday, March the 14th, Dr. John will be at IMAC, Jay and the Americans will be at Westbury Music Fair, the Psychedelic Furs will be at the Academy, and we have Fish at Roseland. On Sunday, March the 15th, The Cure will be appearing at Nassau Coliseum. Patti LaBelle will be at the Palace Theater, and Rush will be at Nassau Coliseum as well. On Wednesday, March the 18th, the Canelles in This Picture will be at the Marquee, and U2 and the Pixies will be at the Meadowlands. And on Thursday, March the 19th, Queen Latifah, Naughty by Nature, and Black Sheep will be at Westbury Music Fair. Stiff Little Fingers and Blue Diamonds will be at the Marquee, and Fish will be at the Palace Theater. And on Friday, March the 20th, The Stylistics, New Magic, and The Dramatics, who are filling in for the Shy Lights, will be playing at Westbury Music Fair, and U2 and the Pixies will be at Madison Square Garden. And on Saturday, March the 21st, we have Don Cornell, Helen O'Connell, and Billy Eckstein at Westbury Music Fair, Life Out of Balance and the Scales at Farragon, SOD, Celtic Frost, Morbid Angel at the Beacon Theater, that's at the Ritz, and the Allman Brothers at the Beacon Theater, and Mr. Ebb at the Academy. And finally, Sunday on March the 22nd, we have Gladys Knight at the Westbury Music Fair, Murphy's Law and Lo Mito at the Limelight, and the Allman Brothers Band at the Beacon Theater. This Sunday at 1 o'clock p.m., WUSB will be presenting a musical special on U2. Following the special, WUSB will be giving away a pair of tickets for U2's sold-out March 9th concert at the Nassau Coliseum. Be sure to tune in for your chance to win those tickets. If you would like to stay in tune with Concert Billboard information, you can hear us 7 days a week, weekdays at 3 and 9 a.m. and 4:30 and 10 p.m., and weekends at noon and at midnight. If you have any questions regarding upcoming concerts or events, please call us at 622-690.1. Once again, this is Rose signing off on Long Island's first station of the 90s, 90.1 WUSB, Stony Brook.
New York Telephone, Miss Kane, to help you.
Yes, hi, I need the country code for Albania, please.
This holds for long distance.
I guess it is a long distance.
One moment for an operator who can assist you.
Thank you.
AT&T, how can we help you?
Yes, hello. I need the long-distance country code for Albania, please.
Okay, hold the line, please.
Thank you. If you ever have one of those
days. Okay, Armenia. You say Albania?
Yes, Albania.
I have to connect you with an operator, sir.
Okay, thank you. Doesn't sound like an operator.
Sir, all my lines to that operator is busy right now. Would you try it again in a little while, sir?
Yeah, it's the kind of day I've been having. Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
Now, let me try it again for you.
Thank you.
No, it's still busy, so try again in a little while, please.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
It's 12 minutes after 12 o'clock. The program is Brain Damage. And we're not all tied up. Although there's people here that would like to be. We have information. Information we will not be sparing with. And we'll take information, too. So this is the kind of people we are. However, first, we believe it's only right to spread some wisdom out amongst the airwaves. And we do this for no other reason than to make your lives a little bit better. We're going to tell you the story of how Jehovah rewarded a faithful youth. All you faithful youths out there, take notice. Faithful youths are very precious in Jehovah's eyes. And the following experience of a faithful young man should encourage other young ones to keep their integrity as they serve Jehovah. In Argentina, an 11-year-old boy and his younger brother studied the book, The Truth That Leads to Eternal Life, with their grandmother. Immediately, the boy's parents manifested opposition, and they forbade the boys to go to meetings at the Kingdom Hall. For a time, in order to attend meetings, the boys escaped through the bathroom window, jumped onto the patio, which was right below the bathroom window, and jumped over the bushes there, cut across the lawn, ran down the street, and went over the wall onto the neighbor's patio, and then down the sort of side part of the house there where you could just kind of squeeze through if you were young enough. And then, being careful not to step on the flowers in the front yard, ran down to the Kingdom Hall. Then, someone told their mother that they were attending the meetings of Jehovah's Witnesses. The mother threatened to beat them. And this frightened the younger boy, who quit studying and became a Nazi. But the older one persisted. For 5 years, he managed to attend meetings without his parents' knowledge. When he was 16 years old, he wanted to take a course in high school that was not offered in his hometown. Being away from home would give him more freedom to pursue the truth. His parents agreed to let him go, and everything went well for 3 months. Then, the school principal notified his parents that their son would not salute the flag. He would not sing the national anthem. Before an audience of the principal, his parents, a secretary, a lawyer, and 10 professors, the young man was able to give an excellent witness as to why he could not conscientiously perform these acts. The parents were furious. The mother obtained a revolver, intending to shoot the grandmother, whom she considered responsible. But she could never find her alone. Later, at the suggestion of a friend of the family and with the approval of the school principal, the parents decided to put the youth in a clinic for the mentally ill, thinking that psychiatric treatment would make him abandon his faith. The clinic personnel took the boy 60 miles away in a car and injected him with huge doses of insulin and other drugs until he lost consciousness. Upon awakening, he was completely disoriented, did not know anyone, and suffered partial amnesia. After many studies, the doctors could not find any mental disorder in him. But the clinic went ahead with the treatment. When conscious, the boy prayed continually to Jehovah not to abandon him and begged him for the strength to endure. Jehovah did protect him. And eventually, he was released from the clinic. On one occasion, the school principal asked the young man if he was ready to retract. When he said no, the principal told the parents to take him back to the clinic because he was crazier than before. The parents took him to a boarding house and told the landlady to make sure that he did not go to the meetings of Jehovah's Witnesses. After the parents left, what a surprise the boy received. The owners of the boarding house were Jehovah's Witnesses. Finally, the parents took him off psychiatric treatment, convinced that the doctors had lied to them. And, in the meantime, the Supreme Court of Argentina ruled that the children of Jehovah's Witnesses could not be expelled from school for not saluting the flag. Did these trials benefit this faithful youth? Yes, he states. I was able to give an extensive witness to doctors, professors, schoolmates, parents, and relatives, in fact, to the whole city. My parents have softened somewhat and have a better concept of the witnesses. Now, when I look back at my childhood, I see how marvelous and tender our God is in taking care of someone who remains loyal to Him. It is exactly as the psalmist said of Psalm 27:10, in case my own father and my own mother did leave me, even Jehovah Himself would take me up. And this young man is now 23 years old, married, and very active in Jehovah's service. Truly, Jehovah's sustaining power is without limit. And I don't have to tell listeners that that came from the Watchtower. Swords into plowshares. When? How? Announcing Jehovah's Kingdom. Dated March 1st, 1992. Oh, now, please. We're more than happy to share that with you. And before that, we heard some poetry about Albania. Very nice tune called Holiday in Albania by Attila the Stockbroker. Ranting at the Nation. More poems about flatfish and Russians. whole album seems to be about Russians and Albanians. The Fall of King Zog. Very silly East European propaganda station. Things like that. Thanks to Kevin for bringing that in. And thanks for taking it out. 21 minutes after 12 o'clock, the program is Brain Damage. There are primaries today, and we're going to update you on those. And talk about other things as well, like computer viruses. And a couple of surprises. Stay with us. Our telephone numbers are 632-6901, 632-6500. For those of you that want to call in, we'll be taking phone calls at about 12:30. Okay, we're going to fade down the music just to make it. Thanks a lot. Qualified studio engineers are so hard to find. Strange entities around. I haven't seen you in a dog's age.
How you doing, man?
Hi.
I saw you on TV. That
was Pete King saying he saw me somewhere, which was impossible. He couldn't see me anyplace. I've been sitting here the whole time. I know nothing. Nothing. Okay, the score right now is Bill Clinton, 55, Paul Tsongas, 21, Jerry Brown, 15, undetermined, 4, uncommitted, 2. What's the difference between uncommitted and undetermined? Anybody know? No. Larry Agron, 0, Bob Cunningham, 0, Mario Cuomo, 0, Tom Harkin, 0, Bob Kerry, 0. Didn't he drop out? William Kremmel, 0, Lyndon LaRouche, 0, Jeffrey Marsh, 0, J. Louis McElbein, 0. Matt Mankiewicz, 0. Angus McDonald, 0. Howard Sprague, 0. Charles Woods, 0. Now, that's interesting because Matt Mankiewicz happens to be right here. I was wondering maybe we could get a comment from you as to how you felt things are turning out here tonight. I didn't even know you were on the list. You are right here.
I didn't even know I was on the Democratic ticket, to tell you the truth.
Well, so someone put you on there, and apparently all these other people, too, I've never heard of before. Charles Woods, Howard Sprague. Who are these? Anybody know who these people are? Give us a call. Tell us who they are.
Did you remember these guys from the alternative presidential convention from way back?
Not these ones. I remember other ones. But,
yeah. I remember Larry Harmon.
There must be a lot of people running I don't know about. And okay, now the one everybody's interested in. The Republicans. Okay? We have percentages with, this is only a partial reporting here. We have 1,843 of 1,844 precincts reporting, so that's by no means conclusive. Pat Buchanan has 26% of the vote, and George Bush appears to have edged him out with 67. Paul Daugherty had 0, and David Duke had 7. So,
which state was this?
This was South Carolina.
Oh, what do you expect?
The Democrats, that was a total, I believe. So, that's pretty interesting here. I see in Arizona, Jerry Brown got 26%, but unfortunately our machine cut off after that, so we don't know what anybody else got, but he got 26%. Now, the Associated Press interpretation, here we go. Democrat Bill Clinton says his big win in the South Carolina presidential primary provides, quote, a nice boost going into Super Tuesday, unquote. Sound bites like that that make a good president. In addition to his win in South Carolina, Clinton also enjoyed a bonus far from home with a caucus victory in Wyoming. He wasn't even aware that there was a caucus in Wyoming, but he said he'd take it anyway. He's also leading in early returns from Arizona. And President Bush is thanking South Carolina Republicans for their, quote, solid support, unquote. In today's GOP primary, Bush won easily over Patrick Buchanan and David Duke, but the president once again encountered a 30%-plus protest vote. And let's see, the New York Times says the Pentagon wants the United States to remain the world's only superpower and dissuade Japan, the European community, and other powers from destroying the world. The Times says the policy statement could be released later this month. The authorities in Thailand say at least 47 people drowned after a passenger ferry collided with an oil tanker early Sunday. Police say the ferry, which is carrying at least 100 passengers, capsized after being struck by the tanker in the Gulf of Thailand. And in Southern California, the chairman of the Militant Jewish Defense League, Irv Rubin, is in jail in an alleged murder-for-hire plot, and police say they're searching for a second suspect. Rubin is being held without bail, is denying being involved in any murder plot. And that's the news at 12:27. Matt, how you doing?
Not bad.
We're both in the studio at the same time. In fact, we got Kibred and Pete Kang here. What's going on? Is something happening? There's a mob of people downstairs. Are you involved in that somehow?
No.
Okay.
About 5,000 people downstairs just sort of staring at each other. I don't know why.
What is this Michelangelo virus that didn't work?
All right, look. Why does everybody think that computer hackers were behind that, huh? Why?
Because it came out of the Netherlands?
Now, wait a minute. Where did you hear that? I heard it came out of the Netherlands. I heard it came out of Germany. I heard it came out of Brooklyn. I heard all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Nobody knows where it came from.
Well, as soon as I heard Netherlands, I mean, I was just...
Well, let me put it to you this way. Hackers don't really gain much by spreading computer viruses, but software companies do because they get to sell all their antiviral software.
I heard Emmanuel Goldstein was behind it.
Well, perhaps you should listen to him. But in any event... It's all over. Were you affected, Matt?
No.
Did you spray your computer?
No.
Why not?
Because it was a freestanding PC, and I haven't loaded any new software in it in years.
Uh-huh. You haven't stuck any stray floppies in there?
Nope.
All right, well, not everyone is as conscientious as you, you know.
No, it's just because I don't own the computer, my company does, and it's their problem.
Well, that's the attitude that made America great.
If I do notice a sign on the WUSB computer saying, do not use under pain of death for the duration of May 6th, sign's still there, which means nobody's used it since.
Well, I myself tested that computer for a virus, and there's no virus on it. I can assure everybody of that. If people want to panic, go right ahead. But I know there's no virus in that machine. I looked myself.
Now,
I don't know anybody else that was affected.
The problem we have with that computer is that we have sometimes people hitting the wrong keys and stuff like that and dumping data.
Yes, like del *.*, you know, delete all files. Yes, let's delete all the files and erase them with other files.
Yes.
Those are the wrong keys to hit, and sometimes people hit them. But, you know, mistakes happen.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know what they said. If they took a group of chimpanzees and just had them hack at typewriters all day, you know, for maybe about a billion years, they'll have the complete works of Shakespeare. You leave the average WUSB staffer in front of the computer, and they will type out *.*, and in 15 minutes.
Incredible. It's incredible what we do here. But that's our dirty laundry. We don't want to be spreading it too far.
No further than our broadcast range, anyway.
I was going to talk about the virus, for one thing, and also postal regulations. I thought that might be something interesting to talk about.
New postal regulations or old ones?
No, old ones. Okay, I got a story for you. This is funny. This is interesting, and all you people that are getting steamed on the phone waiting for us to answer, this will make you feel a little better. Hey, nice seeing you.
Bye.
See you again in a few years, huh? Okay, Pete Kang making a rare cameo appearance at the radio station. Okay. Occasionally, have you ever dropped something in somebody's mailbox because it was easier than mailing it to them?
Yes.
Okay, well, sometimes I've got to do that. And I owed this person a check, you know, of a certain amount. I won't get into why I owed this person money, but I did. Okay? This person said, look, mail it to me by this particular time or bad things will happen. So, not really in those words, but the thing is, I wanted to get it to that person by a particular time, so it made the most sense to leave it in the mailbox. Right, and this has been done before, leaving things in mailboxes. It's no big deal. And I wrote down the name of the person. Nothing else, just the person's first name. Okay, And I wrote, just to make sure that the mailman would see it, you know, he wouldn't take it, not for the mail, not for U.S. mail, all right? A week later, I find out that the thing never arrived because the mailman took it after all. And today, in the mail, I get this little window envelope with from the strange disbursement claims department of the post office saying, this was found loose in the mail, and they have my check there. They opened the letter, they found my check with my address on it, and they mailed it back to me, saying, you know, this was found floating around in the mail and obviously belongs to you, and here it is. So for the last week, my check has been wandering around the postal system, free of charge, by the way. It made a trip from where I left it back to my house, so I guess I got something out of it. But the person I was supposed to leave the check for was kind of steamed.
Yeah.
You know, but that kind of thing is, it's an outrage. You put something in a mailbox, you say, don't take this, and they take it. You know, is there no justice left in the world?
Either that or the mailman can't read.
Well, that's always possible, too, I suppose, and I have sympathy for that, but I don't know. You know, it seems like something should be, you know, not happening there.
Well, what about other weird postal regulations? Did you know that is a federal offense? Oh, well. Frank should oil this thing. It's illegal to stick your hand in a federal mailbox because you could be nailed for stealing the U.S. mail.
Well, I think it's illegal to steal the mail.
Yes.
It's not illegal to stick your hand in a mailbox. It's illegal to steal the mail. Isn't that how it works?
Yes.
Well, sometimes you have to stick. I've stuck my hand inside a mailbox to take my mail out because I realized that it wasn't going all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't want it to stay there sticking up so anybody could take it, so I stuck my hand in and took it out and put it in another mailbox.
Also, it's technically illegal to actually hand-deliver something and stick it in a U.S. mailbox. Technically. I don't know if anybody actually enforced that law.
Right.
But
are you saying I just admitted to committing some sort of federal crime by...
Technically. In other words,
a microphone like that. That makes a horrible noise.
I'm sorry.
I stuck something in somebody's mailbox and instructed the mailman not to take it, and you just told me that's a crime, a federal crime?
No, I don't think it's really a crime. I think it's just like not advised. Please don't do it.
No, that's a hypothetical situation.
Yeah, so please don't do it, that sort of thing.
Well, I don't know how you're supposed to leave things with people when they only have one mailbox. Are you supposed to throw it in front of their driveway or something?
Well, they don't want you know, paper boys and paper girls, and as a matter of fact, there are several of them nowadays, to leave your newspaper in your mailbox. They would rather have a separate box attached to the mailbox or throw it on your lawn or something like that.
I wish they wouldn't leave all that junk in my mailbox. I wish they wouldn't leave those things that I don't ask for, and I won't say names because they probably are just waiting for somebody to accuse them of cluttering up the mailboxes with their useless propaganda so that they can, finally get some publicity. I'm not going to even give them that publicity, but I just wish they'd stop it. In this time of wasting resources, it's the last thing. How many people out there read that junk? How many people read it? Or how many people just throw it all away? In the post office, every time I go down to the post office, the waste paper basket is piled high with nothing but the junk that they put in every single P.O. box.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody even looks at it. They take it out of their box and they throw it into the waste basket. It's like, you know, they come in there to do some maintenance for the post office, cleaning out the post office box and throwing it immediately into the garbage.
Well, you know, one person did. They saved a lot of money on their heating bills by simply getting on everybody's mailing list, getting all this junk mail, and tying it all together and throwing it in their fireplace.
Well, that's using your brain, I guess. But what do you know about postal inspectors?
Not much.
Well, you better know something about them, because they're all over the place. They're all over the place, and they're watching.
They're undercover?
And they have guns, too.
Wow.
Postal inspectors, and this is official, folks. This is an official notice here. Postal inspectors are the fact-finding and investigative agents of the United States Postal Service. Today, nearly two-thirds of their time is spent in investigating and solving postal-related crimes. Possessing statutory power of arrest, they apprehend violators of the law and work closely with U.S. attorneys in prosecuting cases in court. Their work also entails the audit of postal operations, the investigation of accidents. Postal accidents? Major source of tragedy these days.
Crash your mail truck.
And a wide variety of other service and audit matters. The work of a postal inspector requires total dedication, not any of this, you know, civil service junk here, not total dedication, and a willingness to work long hours. They work 75-minute hours sometimes. It happens. Investigations of postal crimes, which often entail interstate or international coordination, and assignments to restore mail service following catastrophes such as floods, fire, and train and airplane wrecks. I don't understand how you have to restore postal service after an airplane wreck, but I guess that's something I just don't understand. They can be time-consuming and hazardous. Protection of postal revenue in the U.S. Postal Service is dependent on a continual evaluation of the operations in the postal system. The inspection service provides analyses of existing conditions in the postal service to ensure efficient and sound internal operations, blah, 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 blah. There's something in here that's pretty interesting concerning their rate of conviction. What do you think their rate of conviction in all the cases that they come up with is?
I bet you it's pretty high, considering that if they're not going to convict anybody, they just won't investigate.
Well, give me a number.
How about 75%?
How about 75%? Uh-uh. It's the inspection service maintains a consistently high conviction rate each year of approximately 98% of cases brought to trial, rate not exceeded by any other federal law enforcement agency. And you didn't even know what postal inspectors were. They're everywhere. They know what's going on, and they're
98%.
Good. 98%. They're good at what they do.
Yeah, it means if you get charged for mail fraud, you're dead.
That's pretty much it, yeah. Now, what is mail fraud? Mail with intent to defraud comes under the jurisdiction of the Postal Inspection Service. Mail fraud law is the oldest consumer protection law in the United States. It's one of the most effective, how would you say that word, prosecutive? Persecutive?
I guess.
I don't know how to say that. I never said it before. Prosecutive is the way you look like you're supposed to say, but it doesn't sound right. It doesn't
sound
like your tongue.
Bureaucratese.
Persecutive sounds better, but I don't think that's right. Gosh, folks, we need help on this one, too. But anyway, it's one of those tools in fighting white-collar and organized crime. Many millions of dollars are lost each year through mail fraud, which cheats the poor, sick, elderly, and businessmen alike. Okay, they throw businessmen in there.
Just like mad dogs and Englishmen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Prevalent schemes include insurance, banking, inheritance frauds, land and advanced fee selling swindles, franchise schemes, work at home and correspondence school schemes, charity schemes, promotions of fake health cures, beauty devices, fast diets and sex stimulants, chain letters and lotteries. Why do people hate chain letters so much? You know?
Well, I have an account on the computer system right over here.
I saw that
yes,
same notice.
That
I
notice,
saw the same
no
notice.
Chain letters. No chain letters.
I never thought. For the benefit of the listeners, on the internet today, apparently, this got posted saying there will be no chain letters sent on the internet, which is a vast computer network that links computers all over the world. So do not do this. If you send chain letters, it's going to be cause for your dismissal from the system. And I said to myself, boy, you know, I never thought of sending a chain letter before. And now all of a sudden, I can see how a chain letter on this network would certainly spread like wildfire. And I was wondering if somebody was able to get into that message that was sent out and say anybody who breaks a chain letter is subject to removal from the system. That could have quite a different effect. But I'm certainly not advocating anything like that. All right, continuing here. Illegal trafficking in drugs, narcotics, and other controlled substances through the mail is investigated in conjunction with other federal and state law enforcement agencies. Pornography. The Inspection Service investigates violation of the Postal Obscenity Statute.
Our program guides are
subject to this. Enacted in 1865, which prohibits the sending of obscene materials through the U.S. mail.
Yeah, and they use the 1865 definition of obscenity.
That's true. That's definitely true. Bombs. Not legal to sell to mail bombs. I think you can mail them bulk, though. I'm not sure about that. Investigations, just not first class. Investigations of incidents or threats involving bombs or incendiary devices sent through the mails or directed at postal properties or functions are within the jurisdiction of the inspection service. Extortion isn't cool either. They don't like that. So watch out, folks. The postal inspectors are out there, and they're nice little pamphlet here. You might want to take
they're
a
good.
Look at that. Yeah. We also, folks, for those of you that have mail questions, we have the domestic mail manual right here. Listen to this. That's quite a sound, isn't it? It's a pretty heavy book. Listen again. It's thick. It's how many pages is this? 718 pages.
I noticed it was sent fourth class.
Well, yeah, it was sent fourth class. I've never seen anything sent fourth class before.
We just found one.
It's got all the questions you need to ask or actually answer about any kind of class of mail from first to fourth. Special services, express mail, you name it. I remember a few months ago, we read all the rules and regulations about mailing insects. Yeah, there are special rules for that kind of thing. So We're here. We've got the information for you, both on the presidential election and mailing.
Well, considering that the postal service dates back to what 1776, you know, Ben Franklin.
Paul Revere, yeah. Wasn't he the first postmaster general?
Was Franklin. But anyway, somebody like Charles Darwin or somebody like that probably had to mail insects, and somebody had to come up with the rules for it, and that's back then. That's probably what they came up with back then.
Speaking of sex, did you see Peanuts today?
No, I didn't.
Anybody out there see Peanuts? I never saw anything like this before, but Lucy is out there in the outfield, and she's yelling to Schroeder something like, "Hi there, cutie pie," or whatever. You know how she does those
yeah.
things. And what does Schroeder yell back? "Sexual harassment, sexual harassment." Charlie Brown says it's going to be a long season, but I don't think they ever used the word sex before in Peanuts. Do you ever recall that word being used? I mean,
no.
Sexual harassment. I mean, you know things are changing when that kind of thing happens.
In Peanuts?
Yeah. I clipped it. I clipped that one because I know that kind of thing isn't going to be around much longer.
What, sexual harassment or Peanuts?
Well, that kind of reference in Peanuts anyway. So, all right. Well, we've got all kinds of other things to update people on if there's any late-breaking stories in the presidential elections. We got a lot of callers here. Look at this. Full switchboard there.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you give them the other number, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I guess I'll live to regret that. They're going to be angry, so I guess we should just get to it right away, huh?
Yeah.
Why don't you take the first one?
Good evening. You're on the air.
I haven't pressed the button yet.
Hey, press the button.
I'm afraid to, because they're going to be angry.
Let them.
All right.
Hello? Hello? I guess they gave up.
You see, they're not even talking to us.
Hey, man, what's happening?
Oh, they didn't give up.
Okay, that's better.
How you doing?
We're fine.
All right. This is James. I want to send out, say hi to Jimmy out there. What's up, man?
He's not answering. I'm not hearing anything anyway. Jimmy! No, Jimmy. Not a word. I don't know.
All right.
There's something wrong here. Is there anybody else you want to shout out to?
No, that's it. I'm just saying hi to everybody out there.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything
goodbye.
Else you want to? All right. I cannot fathom why somebody would let a phone ring for 45 minutes just to say hi to somebody who's not even here.
The miracles of radio. A lot of people, when they hear their voices on the radio, think they have some kind of power. Matter of fact, when you first came on USB, didn't you have that feeling?
I didn't like to hear my voice on the radio when I first came on USB. No, I would, in fact, be listening to another station whenever I was on. Because it can be a frightening experience. It can be extremely frightening. Also very, disorienting.
Well, that feeling of power, well, I had it. And also, the thing was, I was always afraid of screwing up. Fear of failure is very strong when you first get on the radio,
mm-hmm.
as I've discovered with people I've tried to help get on later on.
Mm-hmm.
And people think that radio has this unusual power. I guess back in the 30s, when that's all there was, maybe it did.
Oh, no, radio is a lot more intimate than television ever could be.
Yeah, because it gets into your mind.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're talking to people. I mean, people right now are thinking of postal inspectors with guns. And mail regulations and things like that. And you just can't get somebody to picture something like that on TV. You just can't get into their minds and have them think about Jehovah's Witnesses and mail regulations and presidential delegates and you know, exciting things like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
that radio brings out.
Yeah.
And plus, interaction with our listeners. Good morning. See?
Hello?
And now they'll talk back. Isn't that great? Hi, how you doing?
Hello, this is Salvador de Morgan. Yours?
Just fine. Good morning.
Yes, Mr. Quayle.
Mr. Quayle's not here right now.
I'm Mr. Quayle.
What?
I'm Mr. Quayle.
Oh,
you're Mr. Quayle.
Asking for Mr. Quayle.
Any relation?
No, I'm the only conservative Republican who calls the show. The rest are just libertarians and liberal Democrats. I want to ask you...
A lot of them don't like to be categorized, tell you the truth.
Yeah, those non-categorized people.
Do you think Dan Quayle's qualified to be president?
Turn it up?
Yeah, turn it up a little bit.
Turn it up? Okay, sorry.
No, turn up the speaker a little bit so I can hear him.
Oh, turn up the speaker?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Okay. It's still there.
Yes.
We're just doing some behind-the-scenes technical things.
Yeah, because I'm having trouble hearing.
Okay.
Do you think Dan Quayle's qualified to be president?
You heard that, didn't you?
He's never been president before, so I guess he doesn't have experience.
He will in 1996.
No, who's... To be honest with you, who, except for Grover Cleveland when he got elected the second time, has ever... had prior experience being president of the United States?
Wait, what was the question?
Who's ever become president of the United States has ever had prior experience being president of the United States?
Ronald Reagan. I'll tell you why.
He was never president before he got elected in 1980.
Wait a minute, how can somebody be president before they get elected?
Can I explain it?
All right, but I don't understand how it's possible.
All right. When Ronald Reagan was shot in March.
I guess you could say that.
Yeah, but the thing is, a lot of people just don't hire people for jobs without prior experience, so that's what I was thinking. So how qualified could Dan Quayle... What kind of president do you think Dan Quayle would be? That would be a very good question.
I'll name the top five people who are the best qualified to be president.
Here we go. In order of their qualifications or in reverse order or what?
Starting from number one being the best.
No, why don't you make...
Count
no,
down.
Yeah, save the best for last. Start from five.
Like David Letterman, you go backwards.
Yeah, then we'll have a drum roll.
Yeah.
Number five, Robert Dole. Number four, George Bush.
Ooh.
Number three, Ronald Reagan. Number two, Pat Buchanan.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Number three is you cannot have Ronald Reagan because
he should be.
But
he's also 80 years old,
he's
1980.
He's also been president for two terms. He's not allowed. He's one of the few people in the country that is not allowed to be president. I mean, isn't that amazing? Ronald Reagan is probably one of five people that cannot be president.
Well, what about the millions who weren't born here?
All right. Well, I'm saying of the people that were born here. How's that?
Okay.
That and convicted felons. All right. Number one is?
Dan Quayle, of course.
I guess I should have known that.
Why?
Conservative. He's more conservative than Bush. We should have Ronald Reagan as president of Pat Buchanan.
What is good about being conservative?
Because the whole...
What is so good about being conservative? I just want to hear the answer.
Look at Jimmy Carter. He wasn't conservative.
That's not an answer to the question. I got a better one.
Before we find out, decide what is good about being conservative, will somebody please tell me what is conservative?
Oh, boy.
Okay, it's like not giving unemployment, not extending unemployment benefits.
Why is that good, not extending unemployment benefits, when you got so many people unemployed?
Because it creates money for the deficit, and then they sit home all for the 13 weeks.
Hold it. Federal government doesn't contribute that much to the unemployment benefits. How about this one? I got a great one. For the price of one stealth bomber, which they've finally decided that they're not going to buy, for the price of one stealth bomber, $500 million, okay, you could support quite a few people in a very nice style for the next 10 years.
So look how many jobs those self-farmers provide for people who are middle class.
In one little small part of California.
Yeah.
That's like saying, out here on Long Island, that building another shopping center provides jobs. How about all the jobs that are being lost because another shopping center will put another shopping center out of business?
Well, that's one thing. And the other thing is, people were building stores and, strip malls and things like that all over the place. Who is going to shop at them?
What do you consider yourself, Democrat, Republican, or what?
Who are you asking?
Yeah, I'm asking both of you.
Well, I consider myself independent, but definitely with liberal overtones, because I don't follow a party line. I don't always agree with what certain parties say, and usually in a group I always cause a lot of trouble because I never agree with what the group says. So for that reason, I don't categorize myself as a Democrat or a Republican, but rather as independent. And that means I'm not allowed to vote until Election Day. I'm not allowed to vote in the primaries. I think we should all vote in both primaries. I don't see what the harm
is. Some states have that.
What about Matt? What are you?
I registered as a Republican for that very reason, that Eric can't vote until Election Day, so I could at least vote in primaries.
But why Republican and not Democrat?
Because at the time in Suffolk County, the Republican Party was larger.
Are you conservative, Matt?
Not like Reagan. Not even close.
Oh, they should get a conservative Republican as host of the show. You should find somebody.
I'd take that.
Wait a minute. Hold it. There are plenty of conservative Republicans that host radio shows. Look at Rush Limbaugh, Bob Grant. They got plenty of radio shows. I mean, there's got to be an audience for somebody who doesn't necessarily fit in either category.
I'll tell you what. I'll take Bob Grant's place if he wants to come here to USB and take my place.
Hey, Bob Grant's salary, I'll take it too.
Well, he can keep his salary. I'll do it for free. I'll just, be on AM radio.
Yeah,
my voice won't be as resonating.
60,000 watts, that's great. Yeah, get halfway across country.
Yeah, especially at night.
I'm going to vote for.
who are we going to vote for? Well, it depends who winds up winning, you know, because we're not, I mean, I'm not able to vote until it's been decided.
Well, who would you want?
Well, you know, I said it before, I don't really trust
Clinton. I have a complaint. It's about you, Eric, and you never give a straight answer. When somebody asks you questions...
Well, that's
because
you
he doesn't have to give
me.
One until November.
You keep interrupting me when I'm trying to answer. I said I don't trust Clinton, so I don't really want to vote for him, but I kind of like Jerry Brown, but then again, he's kind of nutso. I don't know, I guess, is the answer I give right now.
Democrats are like minorities and lower-class people. That's who Democrats mainly... Here,
isn't it rather funny that none of these guys who are running for president on either ticket, Democrat or Republican, are from any type of minority or lower class?
I think a Cuomo Jackson ticket is the key.
That's funny. Well,
Cuomo
Jackson
ticket would never go over in the South.
Oh, wait. Yeah, if Jesse Jackson becomes president, he'll be dead within 6 months. 6 months. I think that's pretty obvious.
Why is that? Because it's a stressful job?
No, because he's black. Some white guy will shoot him.
How do you know it'll be some white guy who will shoot him? A black guy shot Malcolm X.
How do you know anyone's going to shoot him, for that matter?
And you, why do people want Mario Cuomo? He should be shot for the job he's done with New York.
Is it legal to say the governor should be shot? It's not legal to say the president should be shot.
Oh, if he becomes president in 96.
It's the quail here.
I think he's saying it figuratively.
Ah.
You like Cuomo? Is he doing a good job?
Well, okay, look, all you people that don't like Cuomo as governor, if he wins as president, he won't be governor anymore, right? So everybody wins.
As a matter of fact, that was the impetus for Jimmy Carter winning his home state in 76.
Well, that's one little secret that has gotten out. Anyway, thanks so much for calling. We're going to move on to another call. But first, this fascinating fact. Do you know what a dedicated philatelic window is?
First day cover or something like that? Philatelic means stamp collecting,
right.
Obviously.
Very good. All right, so a dedicated philatelic window is a lobby window designated to sell stamps and related philatelic products only.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
No other postal services are available at dedicated philatelic windows, which are to be identified so that customers desiring normal postal services are directed to other windows. The same items sold at philatelic centers are also sold at dedicated philatelic windows. All right?
That's
ordinarily, you'd have to pay a lot of money to hear information like that, but we provide it here for free at USB.
Yeah, here the Postal Service is a 900 number where you could actually hear pages from the postal manual.
Yes,
over the phone.
Well, you know, admittedly, they read it in a much more poetic style than I'm capable of. But I think for what you're paying for this, folks, you're getting a bargain. And we will be updating you with more little hints like that. All right. 632-6901, 632-6500. Let's see who's out there. Good morning.
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
You know, we're okay. We've been better, but we've been worse.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know, it's one of those days. Miserable, rainy days where you don't really feel like doing anything. You sit around, you watch the paint peel off the wall, and, you know, just nothing happens outside, nothing happens indoors, there's nothing good on TV, and, you know, nothing really good on the radio, up until now, that is. It's just one of those days. What can you say? Got the presidential elections coming up. We've got winter coming to an end without a single snowflake falling. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't win any gold medals at the Olympics to speak of.
Well, the men didn't.
Still haven't progressed past the moon in outer space. I don't know. Well, you ask how I'm doing? I don't know, all right? How are you doing?
A little tired.
Okay.
Anyway, what's with this virus, the computer virus?
Well, you don't have to worry now about Michelangelo, but there's also the Friday the 13th virus next week, and there's the Ides of March virus of next Sunday, which is March 15th.
Yes.
So there's viruses all the time. You just got to watch out for them. You know?
Yeah. And
be careful what you copy.
Can I say hello to a couple of people?
Say hello to a couple of people.
What?
Say hello to a couple. I mean, you fulfilled the minimum requirements for conversation, so yes, you can say hello now to people.
All right, I just like to say hi to Carol Tam. Trisha.
It sounds like you have a teleprompter there.
Yeah, that's a little idiot over here.
Oh, okay.
What's going on? And Blondie. You
know, Blondie! Alright, Blondie.
What about Dagwood?
No, we've been through this before. This is the third week that Blondie has been given a shout out.
Yeah, she's rad.
Yeah.
She's really cool.
Okay. Anybody else?
Jim Thornton is a loser.
Alright, Jim Thornton's a loser. Wonderful. And, sure, I'd be happy to be informed of that fact.
Isn't there a rule against personal messages?
Is there? I don't know.
And in the mail, too?
You mean
no,
a postal?
FCC.
Are we talking about
No, I'm talking FCC.
Is there a rule that we can't give out personal messages?
I always know.
No, you can't say somebody specifically, first name, last name is whatever.
Well, we're talking about George Bush and Dan Quayle, aren't we?
Well, they're in public office. Different.
Well, how do you know Jim Thorne is in public office? You don't know.
Maybe
you
he is. Yeah,
know.
Maybe he got elected somewhere in some obscure county in some corner of America.
Jim Thornton's in, he's like up high, I thought.
up what? Real high.
Like in somewhere in the White House. So
yeah, you know.
Okay.
Yeah,
then it's perfectly legal. Say whatever you want about the guy.
The mumbler.
All right, listen. We got to go.
All right.
Thanks for calling. We have some more postal tips here and hints. Endorsements, things that you see on letters when they come back to you. I bet you didn't know most of these. You probably haven't seen this one. And I think people should try and get these stamps on their letters. Try and address letters that they come back with these particular stamps on. And this is a good one. No such office in state. You know what that is?
Return to sender.
No such office in state means addressed to a non-existent post office. So if you address something to a post office that doesn't exist, you'll get your mail back. No such office in state.
Tell me something. Are there towns in Long Island without post offices?
Oh, yeah. Belterre. Oldfield.
Yeah.
Nissaquag. Aquabog.
Well, Belterre, nobody in Belterre wants anyone else to know Belterre is there.
Oh, Belterre is right. You go up the hill at Port Jefferson, you turn left.
Yeah. But if you go over to the end of Pirate's Cove and park your car there, the revenue monitor comes over and
that's
writes
true.
Your ticket.
That's true. That's why you got to pull your car up onto the cliff and park on the cliff and cause all kinds of erosion, which they hate. Because their houses fall in property value, and sometimes the houses fall into the water, too. But that's just, you know...
Very high, yes, and they say it's very dangerous because if you step in the wrong place, you go down. But
you know what's funny? That's where all the developers live, in Belterre. And they don't want anybody causing erosion. I think that's hilarious.
Except for themselves.
Yeah. Anyway, other endorsements you can get. No such street, which is pretty obvious, I think. No such number, also fairly obvious. Insufficient address... such as failing to bear a number, street, box number, route number, geographic section of the city, whatever. return for a better address.
I wonder if you...
That's if you mail to a bad neighborhood, and they don't want to go there and deliver it. It's return for a better address. No, actually, mail of local origin is incompletely addressed for distribution and delivery. I've gotten that one, because I've mailed things out sometimes and forgotten to put in anything on the envelope. So I mail something out, and it's blank. And that comes back saying, return for better address. And
I got a good question for you. If you had an envelope and just wrote George Bush on it, would it make it to the White House?
Oh, Santa Claus makes it to I don't know where that goes, actually. But never mind that. Yeah, I think it would. It probably would.
Really?
It would go someplace. You should try it. Illegible. Address cannot be read. Not deliverable as addressed. Unable to forward. I think we've all seen that one. Outside delivery limits. What do you think that means? I mean... Doesn't a mailman go everywhere outside delivery limits?
Neither rain nor snow nor gloom of night or something like that?
Address to a location outside the limits of delivery of the post office of address. Mail for out-of-bounds customers must be retained in general delivery for the prescribed retention period unless addressee has filed an order. I don't know what that means.
I bet you nobody in the Postal Service does either.
I don't understand that. How can you mail out-of-bounds? This isn't a basketball game. This is real life.
Maybe somewhere in Alaska, maybe off the rural route. I'd say that three times fast.
Yeah, all right. No mail receptacle. Addressee has failed to provide a receptacle for the receipt of mail.
So leave it on the doorstep.
Return for postage. Mail has no postage, and there are no indications that the postage has fallen off. So you will get it back. I'll say return for postage.
Yeah, they don't have postage due stamps anymore.
Well, they do have postage due, actually. I don't know. Sometimes you get postage due. Sometimes it gets returned to you. I don't know who decides. It's like at the bank. Sometimes they pay your check when you bounce it. Sometimes they don't. And nobody knows why. All right. Moved, left no address. I think that's pretty obvious.
Oh, I got a great story for you.
Well, I'm not finished yet. Tension span. This is not what it used to be. Temporarily away. Addressee is temporarily away. And retention period for holding mail has expired. Attempted, not known, they don't know who you're talking about. Refused. You ever gotten a piece of mail back that says refused? All right, that means addressee has refused to accept mail or pay postage charges thereon. Vacant. House, apartment, office, or building is not occupied. Box closed, no order. Post office box has been closed for non-payment of rent. have to pay rent on post office boxes. Mm-hmm. Return to sender due to addressee's violation of postal false representation law. Well, that's one I don't think I want to see. Mail is returned to sender under a false representation order. They don't go into any more detail than that, but I imagine if you get that, you'll probably get a couple other letters, too. Unclaimed, addressee abandons or fails to call for mail. And then we have deceased. Now, that one means it's used only when it is known that the addressee is deceased and the mail is not properly deliverable to another person. The endorsement must be made personally by the delivering employee, and under no circumstances may it be rubber-stamped. Mail addressed in care of another will be marked to indicate which person is deceased. I think that's a very good policy. Return to sender due to addressee's violation of postal false representation and lottery law. Return to sender due to addressee's violation of postal lottery law. It's a sort of a variation of that. In dispute, mail is returned to sender by order of the chief field counsel when it cannot be determined which of disputing parties has better right to the mail. So that's if you address something to Mr. and Mrs. John Smith, and they're having a fight.
And or maybe going through divorce proceedings.
Something like that, yes. And they both want it. Like, you know, it's Ed McMahon saying you may have won such and such, and it'll be returned to him saying in dispute. I think it's fascinating. Okay, that's...
Anyway, the story I wanted to tell you.
Endorsements in the Postal Service.
My parents have been living in their house for the past 18 years.
As well they should.
Yes. But the prior resident keeps getting mail at their address, and they keep sending it back. The guy hasn't been here for, you know, whatever years it's been when they got it. Like, not here for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
18 years! You believe that? I mean, most of the people who call haven't even been alive that long.
I get mail for houses that aren't even similar at all in address. It's incredible. You get, I think that's a human error, not a computer error.
No, it's a computer error because we keep sending it back in the computer just because it's a computer printout. It's like a financial statement,
yes, but
like
a human,
25 cents worth of stock or something like that.
A human is allowing that to go through, is not checking to make sure that the computer is... That happens every show at about this time. It's a reminder that we have to give a legal ID, WUSB Stony Brook. Thank you.
What do you? I don't even know what instrument that was.
It wasn't a tuba. We determined that. I think it was a
little higher than a tuba.
Yeah, it was a
contrabassoon or something.
No, buffoon. A buffoon behind it, but I don't know. It was a trumpet. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
a trumpet?
I guess.
Okay. Well, in any event, that's the legal ID time. I don't know what to tell you. I think you're just going to have to start accepting that mail.
But what good does it do? Well, this is a financial statement for some 25 cents worth of stock.
Over 18 years, I'm sure 25 cents worth of stock has matured somewhat. I mean,
yeah.
People mature after 18 years, hopefully. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello?
How you doing?
Connecticut, yeah.
You're in Connecticut?
Yeah, it's Mr. Connecticut.
Wait, the real one, or the one who's trying to imitate him?
Well, how can anybody speak for the entire state?
What?
Well, never mind.
Because nobody else in the state speaks up.
Well, I don't think they can get through fast enough because they have to dial an area code before they get here. But what's on your mind, Mr. CT?
Yeah, I want to say hi to Matt. How you doing, Matt?
Hi. You're not Mr. Connecticut, but you'll do.
Mr. Connecticut? What are you talking about?
Excuse me. What part of Connecticut are you calling from?
Bridgeport? Yeah, it's the 20 questions. I don't want to get my point in.
No, I'm just curious because we're talking about mail. Do you know the zip code for Connecticut? For Bridgeport?
Yeah, 291567.
That's not the zip code.
Hey, no, I don't care about the damn zip code. I just want to...
He's not calling from Connecticut. What?
What's the topic for tonight?
Aren't you listening to the radio?
Yeah, but I don't know. You're just talking gibberish with mail and stuff. That ain't no topic.
You don't think mail is an interesting topic? I think mail is not only an interesting topic, it's a very controversial topic.
Controversial about mail, handsome.
What's so controversial about mail? Matt, I'm sure you have something to say about that.
Well, hey, if you've been getting letters from the person who used to live in your house and you've been living in said house for 18 years, that's pretty controversial.
Yeah, that's pretty controversial.
Can't call the post office and complain, damn it.
We've tried.
Didn't work?
Of course it didn't work.
Why not?
Because they handle about a billion pieces of mail a day. What do they care about? Somebody who keeps getting this thing for the past 18 years.
A state center or something complained to them or something like that.
Hey, at least it isn't pornographic literature. Did you, check out 60 Minutes, I think it was a week or two ago, about the guy who kept getting pornographic literature, and then he got nailed by the, I believe it was the Postal Service, for accepting this stuff. And he, was getting dumped on. He didn't ask for it.
I didn't hear about that. I don't really watch 60 Minutes that much, but...
Well, maybe you should.
Yeah, I think I should. Well, listen, can one of my friends talk for a second?
For a second.
Second, how about, like, 2 minutes? Is that good?
Well, it all depends what he says.
Hold on for a second. Hello?
Yeah, how you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Gene Mankelschmidt.
Oh, that's quite a mouthful.
How about a couple people?
Sure, go ahead.
How about Sidney Bernstein, Ulrich Andresen, Jeremy Klein, Anna Jeff Panasiewicz, Sheldon, the firm of Trim and Smile. Is that good?
That's better than we've seen in a while. Good morning. You're on the air. How you doing?
Listen, there's like a really cool musical group that you want me to play some music for you?
If it's really cool, it better be really cool though.
Hey, that much.
What?
Pretty different.
Well, what are they called?
Called the Ungrateful.
The Ungrateful. Where are they from?
I have no idea.
Where'd you get it?
What?
Where'd you get it?
At his house, you bought it.
Uh-huh. All right, let's hear part of it. About 10 seconds worth, please.
Here you go.
We do anything here on USB. He's playing it backwards.
Looking for satanic messages, maybe? Turn up a little bit.
All right. I think that's, sounded like Clapton guitar there.
Playing it backwards?
Maybe. Well, I don't know where he found that. It must have been one of his rare import stories. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. Is it realistic in Connecticut? No, I'm only kidding.
Yeah, you better be.
No, Matt, this is Dan.
Hey, Dan, what's up?
Hey, Dan, what's up?
Hey, Matt, I met Matt Dawkins on Tuesday night.
Yes.
That's the most, but, yeah, I want to talk about this mail thing. You know what you could do? Like, I always want to try this. I think now that you guys brought up, you know, mail tonight, I think I'm going to do it on Monday. What you do is, like, if you want to mail something to someone without a stamp, like, if you don't put a stamp on it, they mail it back to the return address, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, say I want to mail something to you guys.
Right.
I just put your address. I put the USB address in under the return address. I put my address on the regular address.
Well, that will work if you both are in the same post office. But if you are, say, in, I don't know, White Plains or some crazy place like that, and you try that, you put a Stony Brook address as the return address, they're going to know up there that you didn't mail that from Stony Brook because it wouldn't have wound up in their mail, their post office box.
Well, suppose you just dump it into a mailbox. I mean, like, you know, you can't put it, like, in my mailbox. So I'll just dump it in a mailbox.
Yeah, but when they see it in their post office, they're going to know, how did it get up here in the first place? Obviously, it was mailed from this area. Now, I can tell you how that will work. Let's say you're up in White Plains and you want to mail something for free to somebody in Stony Brook.
Right.
Drive down to Stony Brook and drop it in a post office here and put the return address on as Stony Brook and put no postage on it, and it'll go back to Stony Brook then.
Yeah,
but then as long as you're driving down here, you might as well just visit the person in the first place.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, I mean, just to save 23 cents, I mean, just from like, if I want to mail something...
29 cents.
Whatever.
How's it been?
I don't know, 55 cents will be by next year. But, anyway, getting on to the election, why don't we bring back the radical Republicans?
Oh, you mean the guys who were around after the Civil War?
Right, I mean, bring these guys back. I mean, they want things done. I mean, I'm just going over it right now. It's almost 30.
Well, the thing is, their ideology is pretty much dead.
It is, but I mean... Somebody should bring these people back because they get things done and they want it done now.
Yeah, only thing is they got things done, but they were still feeling the effects from it.
In the Civil War? From radical Republicans?
Go dial up the Mississippi Klan if you don't believe me.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you can blame just the radical Republicans for that. I think you can blame everybody for that.
Yeah, I think it's really swell that you guys are doing the show together. You guys should do it together more often.
Okay, well, thanks for your opinion.
No, yeah, really, like, you guys can be together next week or what?
Anything's possible.
That's cool. All right, well, Matt, I'll talk to you in the sports section tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, 9:30.
All right.
Thanks for calling. Okay, now, here's a section on repeated violations. If the person or firm or distributor responsible for the impermissible use of the private mail receptacles continues the impermissible use after having been notified that the use is impermissible... The postmaster will submit a sample piece and a report of the facts to the postal inspector in charge.
And then you have a 98% chance of being convicted.
And they have guns, so don't forget. 632-6901. Good morning.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey. I got on.
Yeah.
Good to hear both of you on. Okay, comment one. So it really is your show, Eric.
Sorry?
It really is your show, Eric.
I guess. If you want to be technical.
Okay. Two, Matt, do you have bronchitis or anything like that?
No, actually, the problem I've had is that earlier today I went to a St. John Seton Hall basketball game, screened my lungs out, and then at between 7 and 9 o'clock this evening I did play-by-play on a Stony Brook basketball game where I had to talk for 2 hours straight and scream at the top of my lungs then because Stony Brook only won by a point. So I have been talking constantly for the past, well, 12 hours straight.
Ah, so that would explain why you're a mouth breather.
It explains why I'm a little worn out, yes.
Okay. Okay, so topic for tonight that I have. I'm going to go a little different from what I usually do. Oh, first of all, for Bridgeport, 0660-something.
Okay, well, that's definitely close. Where are you calling from?
I'm actually calling from campus, but I'm originally from Bridgeport, and it's like 06606, 06604, etc.
All right, in a moment, sir, I'm going to test you on something else, but continue with your topic, and then...
All right, reading.
Uh-huh.
Why is it that when you have anything discussing education, people aren't talking about maybe bringing back reading to supplant television as the main entertainment mode of trying to get people back into reading and things like that?
Quite a bit has been done. Matter of fact, didn't MTV try to encourage reading?
I haven't watched MTV in years.
How would you go back to reading? How do you implement something like that?
Making it more interesting than watching television.
Well, how do you do that?
I haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, that's that. When you figure that out, that's when you're going to, you know, get somewhere. But
my question is though more: why is it that when you hear education plans, people aren't really like talking about stop watching television and start reading books again?
Well, actually, they do quite a bit. As a matter of fact, I went through elementary school with teachers saying, don't watch TV, don't watch TV, don't watch TV.
And so did I. But yeah.
And then at one time, they made it a homework assignment to watch a certain show on PBS. So where are their minds at?
I grew up at the same time and all that, just across the water and all. But still... I know I'm lacking in my reading skills, and so how do you... I believe that the future generations are probably worse off than I am. How do you bring it back, though? How do you get people to think again, be skeptical, critical analysis, these good skills that are learned from reading?
There's only one way to improve your reading skills, and that's just to keep reading. I mean, just constantly pick up anything. I mean, even the back of a CD jewel case and read the liner notes, something. That's
how
the only
does
way
that,
do
how
it.
Does that help, reading the back of a CD? You got to read something with a plot, and there's not much of a plot to the back of a record cover.
Oh, well, maybe you too.
Anyway, sir, I have a test for you now. You say you were born in Connecticut. Is that right?
That's true, I was.
Okay, what are the first, if you don't mind, your first three digits of your Social Security number?
043.
That's right. I mean, it's correct, because anything from 040 to 049 is Connecticut. Bet you didn't know that, Matt.
No, well, what about New York? What about New York?
Well, where were you? Why don't you tell me the first three digits of your Social Security number, and I'll tell you where you were born.
073.
073 is New York. You were born in New York.
Terrific.
Anybody else care to take me on here? I've got them all. I've got them all for the entire country, particularly those of you that are out of state, or not out of state, but were born out of state. See if you can stump me here. So we'll be trying that.
But for mail, though, great topic and everything, but... people write letters anymore?
Well, you know.
Oh, I do.
People certainly mail things.
Oh, no question about it. As a matter of fact, I've had friends travel to Europe, you know, for semesters abroad, that sort of thing, and that was the primary means of communication because, first of all, telephones were, one, too expensive, and two, since the people were traveling to different locations all the time, they weren't always reachable by phone. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I don't mean to get personal. Now, Eric, I don't know on you exactly how many shows you run. For Matt, you have a full-time job and running three radio shows. What do you do for work?
Three radio shows? I wasn't aware of a third one, but...
So you mean music, this, and sports.
That's me.
That's
You're talking
him.
To me.
That's
okay,
him.
Yes.
Ooh,
that's
I'm
me.
Off the spot.
Yes, I actually do have a full-time job.
The question is actually to both of you, though. I mean, what do you do for work that you're able to have all this time for radio and things like that and all these other fun things?
If you notice, it's on most of my time on the radio is on weekends.
I spend my time getting to know people, like really on a deep level. I mean, I can't give out all the information, but, I just spend my time, associating with... It needs to be done. You don't have people like me. You have a lot of people that don't know what's going on. And you sound like maybe you don't know what's going on right now, but believe me, it makes sense.
Oh, no, I'm just saying for getting into, at our age that three of us are at, pardon me for getting so fraternal, but...
At our age? I mean,
how old
are you?
I don't want to get into
it. At age and up, in other words.
Sounds like, a show for octogenarians here or something.
Yeah, we're really old, but...
Gotten your Social Security check this week?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they come monthly, don't they?
But still, building a career in your late 20s, that's a lot of time that you have to put into your career. I'm impressed.
Well, that's what people do.
Yeah, but the
careers are relative.
The thing is, we have dual careers. When you think about it, we have our regular, 5-day-a-week career, and we have our radio career.
That's true.
Oh, keep plugging away.
All right,
thanks.
We're a career con artist in the long run, I think. 632-6901. Career is a funny word, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Career opportunities. Ah, yes. 632-6901. Yeah, 632-6500. And yes, if you want to take the Social Security number challenge, feel free. You want to buy a Social Security number you want to test me on?
Let's see.
Don't give the whole thing.
No, I'm just going to say 051, because those are the only one digits I know anyway.
051 is New York as well.
Okay.
All right. Satisfied? You're convinced, aren't you?
I'm quite convinced.
All right. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi.
How you doing?
Talking about mail fraud.
Yes.
Several years ago, I had an experience where I ordered something in a mail, right?
Uh-huh.
I ordered something in a mail, and I never got it.
Okay.
So what I did was I wrote the guy several letters. It came to 5, and if a year to the day, I wrote him a letter, very, very nasty letter, and said, if I do not get, I demanded my money back. I said, I don't want your thing anymore. And if I do not get it, if I don't get a refund within 2 weeks, I'm pressing charges with the U.S. Postal Authorities on mail fraud. But you know, within a week, I got my money back plus the item that I ordered.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's the kind of language that people listen to, because those postal inspectors are nasty people.
Yes, they're efficient.
And I just told them, I said, if I do not get my item, I'm going to officially charge you with mail fraud. I said, now what I do is when I order something, when I write out a letter, I make a copy for myself of the letter what I sent to the person.
Very good.
I order something, just so I know from my own records. So I did get that thing. And one other, now two times in my life did I have to deal with someone with mail fraud. And it was, and I won every time. Where they took care of it. Oh, I'm sorry. It was just an oversight. Baloney.
Well, I mean, the thing is, if you're able to get a hold of the people, that makes all the difference. If you can't find them, if they skip town, that I've seen the Postal Authority really not do a good job on tracking people down when they've skipped town.
Well, if someone has a P.O. box, it's pretty hard to find.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, you notice, you see many. Well, actually, there are times when they have to have a P.O. box. Because there's just too much mail being delivered that they have it dumped at their doorstep. But in many cases, a private citizen can have a P.O. box, and no one, not even the Postal Service, is going to know his address.
Well, that's not true, because you have to give an address when you get
a
P.O.
box.
Oh, so the Postal Service does know.
And
you have to give an address.
They had to show my driver's license. I had to show a piece of mail that I got from my house to prove that I actually lived there. And so I do have a P.O. box.
So that's exactly why, I guess that's why they do that.
Yeah, but I guess, someone could use fake ID, a fake driver's license.
Mm-hmm. Yep, virtually anything produced by man can be counterfeited.
You know, anything can happen. But I did, But at that point in time, I waited a year, and I said, Jesus Christ, I waited a year. And I was really pissed off. I ordered a videotape. It was a pirate videotape.
Oh, that's illegal.
Yeah, it was illegal, and I told him, you know what I mean, and I said I was going to bring his whole list of video. tapes to the U.S. Postal Authority saying to show that it's evidence. And I said I saved the envelopes and everything. So he sent me the tape and gave me my money back, too. And he said it was, he said it was mailed. Then he mailed it out in short and everything.
Well, I'm glad things worked out for you.
So, but the U.S. Post Office, hello?
Yes.
Yes.
The U.S. Post Office, you know what I mean, they do crack down on these mail frauders.
And the mere knowledge that they do is enough to convince people to clean up their acts.
And talking about mail fraud,
mm-hmm.
on I don't know if you ever watched Channel 2 News, Shame on You.
I don't like that because they're too judgmental, you know, but never mind that. What about it?
Well, some guy was sending out information about postage, saying 6 cents for postage.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and you know, the thing is, this form was many years ago. Postage is not 6 cents anymore.
No.
And so he was selling this information. So what they did was they put it through the Shame on You shredder. And they said, well, shame on you. And so it's illegal to defraud the post office, you know, of any bit of money because people were, could, but, you know, that was the whole thing. But another thing was illegal. If you, let's say you get a partially erased stamp, which is, let's say, 25 cent stamp that's partially erased, and you put a stamp to overlap it so you, not to show.
Mm-hmm.
The cancellation, and if you get fined, if they find out that you do that, you can get in trouble. You can get in trouble for mail fraud.
If you did something like that intentionally, certainly.
Yeah, because I know someone who was doing that, and I said, hey, you can get in trouble with mail fraud. I said, that's against the law. And he did it a couple of times, and then he said, I can really get in trouble? I said, sure. And then one other person I know who ordered a collectible record in the mail, he said to the he wrote to the person, oh, I never got it, because he never signed for it. In other words, a year later, he got a check from the post office for like $40 for this collectible record that he already had.
A check from the post office?
Yeah, because it was a collectible record.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mail fraud. You can get in trouble for that. You can be royally screwed up the kazoo for that,
mm-hmm.
that you get caught.
Well, there's all kinds of little things there that...
Do you think possibly is a postal inspector listening?
I wouldn't be surprised. They're everywhere. More than every 10 people is a postal inspector.
Well, I just want to say that I would never...
Maybe that's an exaggeration.
...post office, but yeah. Things like this do go on.
I thought 1 in every 10 people was gay.
Well, I don't know what you're implying, but postal inspectors lead normal lives.
Yeah. No, I didn't imply anything like that. I was just, no, actually, it says there 1,950 postal inspectors. I was looking at the pamphlet.
You don't
really?
Use a delay.
Mm-hmm. What?
You don't use a delay anymore?
We don't talk about delay. It's one of the things the FCC doesn't allow us to talk about.
Oh, because, you know, someone could curse on the
I
air.
I know, and that's why we hang up on people. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
You know what I hate about the mail?
What?
Well, my mom, she gets, you know, she's supposed to get the mail, you know, the phone bill every month. And sometimes, for some reason, we never get it, you know?
Wait, sometimes she gets the phone bill and for some reason you don't get it? I think I know what you're trying to say. Sometimes you don't get the phone bill.
Right.
But
and
why do you think that is?
I don't know, because I guess the mailman screws up, because sometimes I'll get the mail and the mail that we have is from my neighbor across the street.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that's probably something that, you know, every mailman sorts things out or has things sorted out for him before he begins his rounds.
So what she had to do, she had to go get a P.O. box, you know, for the bills to come over there now.
Well, I don't know why that would make things any better. I mean, they have to sort out to get to the postal boxes anyway.
Yeah, but I think it would be more secure over there than over here because it's been going on for the longest time.
Yeah, but the thing is if people are taking things out of your mailbox, that's not very secure. But if it's a question of delivering it to the wrong one, that's still going to happen in a P.O. box.
Yeah, well, I think it would be less chance.
Not really, because you have all those boxes right next to each other. And I've had P.O. boxes, and I'm, you know, always getting things for the box next to it or on top of it.
Oh, really?
Or sometimes even a box for a different post office. You know, it winds up because, you know, there's a P.O. box 100 in every post office, so you could get one by accident for a different place.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. The mail's all screwed up. I don't know.
That's true. So, you born in New York?
Huh?
You born in New York?
I was born in New York.
So your social security number begins with 050 through 134, correct?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
All right. That's all I wanted to say.
Any out-of-staters, any people born out-of-state, give us a call. We'll narrow you down and tell you where you came from. Thanks for calling.
All right.
And if here's a postal hint that might be of use to people. Unsealing. That's right, sealing. The sender must securely seal envelopes. That's right. It's your job, folks. It's your job to seal your envelopes. No one else is going to do it for you. Paper or cellulose strips or wax or paper seals must not, I repeat, not be placed over the intersections of flaps of letter-size envelopes where the postmark impressions are made. Packages must be sealed with mucilage, nice word there, or glue, or with plain paper or cloth tape. Packages containing currency or securities may not be sealed exclusively by use of paper strips, but must first be sealed securely with mucilage or glue. Large envelopes, known as flats, which are completely sealed and which also have paper strips or paper tape across the intersections of the flaps, may be considered packages as far as the sealing requirements are concerned. Tape which will not adhere in such a manner as to damage the envelope or wrapper if removed, or tape which will not absorb a postmark impression, may not be used on registered mail. All right, I hope everybody got that, because we're not going to repeat that. That's the kind of thing you only hear once.
So, in other words, you can't use a plastic envelope?
No.
Because the postmark just doesn't...
It just falls right off. You can rub it off.
Yes.
Can't, no, forget that. Got to be paper or something that will...
So that's why you've never seen plastic envelopes.
Yeah. I believe there's a company that invented those a couple of years back that was soon drummed out of business.
Well, some of the private carriers, like UPS, I think they use plastic envelopes.
Oh, they don't stamp anything either.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, you already pay for the envelope, so why stamp it?
I suppose if you have a postage meter or something where you put a big strip on top of the envelope, it doesn't really matter because you're not going to be stamping anything on it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just one of those things that they'll have to debate on the Sunday morning talk shows. It's 129... Program is Brain Damage. We're on until 2 o'clock. Again, out-of-state people, call us up with your Social Security first three digits, and we'll tell you where you come from. It's a public service in case you've forgotten. Good morning.
Yeah, my mailman's pretty cool.
Well, that's good to hear, and it's a rare thing, too.
Yeah, I can't believe all these mailmen. Mine's a pretty cool guy.
A cool mailman will always, start your day right, I say.
Yeah, he's a ticket scalper, and he gives us tickets.
Well, there you go, only in America.
Yeah, and I had a question. 7-Eleven's open 24 hours a day.
And why are there locks in the doors? I don't know. I don't intend to ever find out.
Oh, okay.
Matter of fact, a 7-Eleven employee actually called me up and told me why. I think there are some selected holidays where a 7-Eleven might be closed.
I've never seen that, but I have seen during hurricanes and things like that.
Oh, yeah?
When they lose their power, they have to close.
Yes. Or when they shut down for maintenance or something like that.
How do you shut down a 7-Eleven for maintenance? What do you have to do? Pump out the oxygen or something? What kind of maintenance do you have to do in a 7-Eleven? You mop the floor, you clean the glass, you stock the shelves. That's it. There's nothing else you got to do.
That's why there's so many of them, because they're so cheap to run, I guess.
Sure, you can. They're not even built on the premises. They're lowered by helicopters.
Oh, are they?
Did you ever see that?
No.
Oh, it's amazing. It's quite a sight. I remember when they did that here at Stony Brook.
Oh, yeah, they turn out 7-Elevens on an assembly line somewhere.
Center Reach today.
Well, is that about Center Reach?
Yeah, there's an anniversary for the 7-Eleven there.
Really? How long has it been there?
25 years, I think.
25 years! Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite an occasion. And what were they? What are they doing for the anniversary?
I don't know. My brother said they were giving away like thermoses and hats and stuff.
Uh huh. Well, I guess that's handy to have.
Could be collector's items someday.
Can I say hi to somebody?
Sure, go ahead.
I just want to say hi to Daisy.
Daisy.
Yep.
All right, Daisy.
Okay, thanks. Thanks
for doing that.
Okay.
Hopefully Daisy is listening.
Wait a minute. Blondie, Daisy, Dagwood.
Daisy's in Blondie, isn't she? There's a Daisy.
Daisy is...
Isn't that Tootsie?
No, Tootsie is the neighbor. Daisy is the dog.
Daisy's the dog. Right. And then you got Bumstead. Bumstead is his last name. Dagwood.
Herb is his neighbor.
What's the son's name and the daughter's name?
Cookie and Alexander.
Cookie and Alexander. How come I didn't know that? I should have known that.
Why just read it? It's there every day.
They don't say their names every day. In fact, the son and the daughter have not been in it as much recently.
Yeah.
They've been, like, busy doing something else, I guess. I don't know if they have time to be in the comic strip. But the boss's name and the boss's wife's name.
J.C. and Cora Dithers.
You know this stuff. You really are.
I read the comics every day.
But not everybody memorizes all
the. What do you mean memorize? After you've been reading comics for the past 20 years or so, you don't have to memorize. It just happens.
Yeah, but look, there's certain cartoons that, you know, are easy to memorize. Like, you know, Dennis the Menace, you know his neighbor's Mr. Watson and.
Wilson.
Whatever. Yeah, Mr. Wilson, right, okay. Obviously, I don't memorize these things very well.
Well, what about Doonesbury?
And his wife is Mrs. Wilson, right?
Yeah.
See, I knew that. Doonesbury, what about Doonesbury? There's too many people there, and they keep crossing paths.
Yes, and some of them are born, some of them die, you know, it's like real
life.
Not
enough of them die, I don't think. Really, I think more of them should die, and there should be more variations. It's absurd. I mean, they keep, you know, coming back and meeting each other again as if it's for the first time. It's like, a soap opera with a cast of four.
Yes, and some of them are invisible, like George Bush.
It's getting a bit old, you know. 632-6901, area code 516, 632-6500, also area code 516. Good morning, you're on the radio.
Hi, Matt, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Name five presidents not born in the United States.
It's the first five. George Washington.
No, Francois Mitterrand was not born in the United States.
Yeah, but he wasn't born. Five presidents of the United States.
He didn't say that.
Yes, that's correct.
Presidents of the United States. Oh, it's very easy. It's the first five. It's Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, and Monroe.
No, they were buried in the United States.
No, they weren't, because the United States didn't exist when they were born.
Yes, it was. Not
no,
buried.
They were colonies.
No, he's saying buried.
Not buried in the United States?
I thought you said born.
Buried.
Are you talking about presidents of the United States? Can you rephrase the question just one more? Just say the question one more time.
Name five presidents of the United States not buried in the United States.
Okay, wait. I got it now. Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, right. Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, George Bush. Ha!
I got another
question. Very good.
Because they're not dead.
Of course!
I got another question.
Yes.
Does Libya have a 4th of July?
Say that again?
Does Libya have a 4th of July?
If they follow the Gregorian calendar, I would assume they did.
Yes. Well, actually, this is Mr. Quayle. You didn't let me sign off before.
Well, sign off now, please.
Mr. Quayle saying goodbye and Quayle in 96.
All right. Thanks for enlightening us with that. I should have asked him what his first three digits were.
That was definitely a trick question, yes. People were not buried because they're not dead.
I got it, though. I feel sharp.
But not born in the United States.
I have to
hear
the question one more time to know where the trick was. You know, they're always trying to trick you, these callers. Good morning. You're on the air.
Couple things. Aren't you 30 years old, Eric?
Sorry?
Aren't you 30?
I'd have to check my driver's license.
The other thing is, I'm curious. Someone asked me this question. I wasn't sure, and I wanted to take this up with Matt. Matt, aren't you a mailman?
No, of course not.
Then what kind of man are you?
You walk into that one, I have to say. I mean,
That's right up there with, do I have Prince Albert in a can?
The other thing is, were you eating M&M's before?
Yeah, it was actually peanut M&M's. How did you know?
Pretty good, because I heard the crackling. I'm like, that's not a book. It's M&M's. And
very
you know
good.
What? The only thing was.
I still have a couple.
Because I was eating peanut brownies, and I figured I'm like tasting the peanuts, and I'm like, and I hear the M&M's, and it was like I was eating peanut M&M's.
So we were sort of in harmony there.
Yeah, it was far out. It was like one of those scratch and sniff stickers, but like a taste in here radio.
You can do that. You can do anything you want when you have stereo.
The other thing was with the, how come the UPS guys are called United Postal Service?
No, they're called United Parcel Service.
Oh, United Parcel. I thought it was United Postal.
No.
Well,
private company.
I'm like, how come they're not affiliated with the post office?
They're a private company.
Yeah, they've been around forever.
Right? Oh, yeah, about the turn of the century.
And brown is their color.
Huh, it's just that was really confusing me.
Yeah, they're not the Postal Service, and they were... what their primary purpose was in the beginning was to do stuff that the Postal Service really didn't want to do. That means deliver large, very large packages. And then they started branching out into stuff that the Post Office actually did, like deliver letters.
Yeah, very
nice. I hope we were able to clear that up with you.
Oh, yeah, it was just bugging me out. It was up all night.
Well, it's a good thing that that you called in and had that little problem dealt with.
You got it, man.
All right.
See you tomorrow.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Why would he talk to me tomorrow? Well, anyway.
Well, maybe he wants to call in the sports section. Who knows?
I'm not going to be in the sports section.
I will.
You think he was talking to you? All right. I thought he was talking to me. I'm pushing the buttons here. Anyway. 632-6901, 632-6500, 1:37 in the morning on a Sunday. Good morning.
Yeah, hi. I was a little offended by your postal service bashing before, because I've been working with the postal service a while, and I don't think that's the way it really is, because, you know, we work hard at what we do. We really care about our jobs.
Well, we weren't really bashing them. We were just talking about postal inspectors.
Why did we bash them?
Well, when you said that we weren't doing our job as far as not getting the mail done on time, I think that's a little, like...
We didn't say anything about that.
Well, that's what it sounded like to me.
No. I was talking about incidents...
I mean, because there's no postal service. I mean, try to get a letter mailed, like, Soviet Union or something.
Well, actually, it is hard to mail things in the Soviet Union. It's a lot harder, actually.
Because the Soviet Union doesn't exist.
Well, no, apart from that, it's, you know, the Postal Service here does deliver things remarkably well. I will say that. But I don't think we said anything bad about the Post Office. I'm trying to remember what bad things we said. We talked about crazy mailmen that, you know, sometimes lose mail.
What about all the fine young men in Operation Desert Storm? I mean, they had to get mail, and who brought them the mail?
Well, I don't think
The Saudi Postal Service did.
I mean, our postal people got it to the planes okay, and they did a good job doing that, but I think they stopped there. I think.
Oh,
I don't know the facts.
You took them all the way there.
Really?
Oh, really? The Saudis let them do that?
Well, the postal planes went over, and they handed them personally to the people. That's something.
It is.
Wow.
We risked leg and limb.
All right. Well, that's what we want you guys to be doing, is risking your legs and limbs. But
thank you, and I think... It's communist plot.
Whoa. Well, you know, the communist plots are really, like, not working out these days, but there are still a few of them around.
Actually, if it's a communist plot, considering their track record lately, you should be pretty happy, because it's probably doomed to fail.
Not necessarily. They're due for a win.
Mm-hmm.
They are. Mm-hmm. And don't forget, you still got all those communist Chinese over there. Don't forget them.
Oh, yeah.
In Kuwait?
No, they're not in Kuwait. I think they're still in China.
Communist Chinese? No, they pretty much stay in China.
Yeah. They wouldn't fit in Kuwait.
Uh-huh.
It would be quite a project, though.
Could you imagine fitting a billion Chinese in Kuwait?
What if China invaded Kuwait? That's a thought. Boy. Mm-hmm. What if Saddam Hussein,
the
leader of China?
What happened if invaded Kuwait?
I don't know. Well, you've given us a lot of things to think about, sir, and I want to thank you for doing that.
Wait.
Okay, I waited for a second. That's all I'm going to wait for. We're going to go on to another phone call. Right?
Yes, we are.
We will have another bit of information about the Postal Service. But, again, people, if you're from out of state, tell us your first three numbers on your Social Security card or whatever.
Where did you find this thing?
This is public information. And this is an example of how public information can be very useful. But you didn't know that those Social Security numbers told so much about you.
No, I didn't.
Bet you didn't know.
What about the middle two digits?
I don't think they mean anything, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, are those just consecutive things?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know if it's consecutive, but it's you know, spat out by some kind of computer. It might mean something. It might mean something. But almost every number assigned to you at some point does mean something. And you guys should protect those Social Security numbers, because they are actually your name. You know, you get your grades with those numbers. You get, identified by the draft board with that number. Mm-hmm. So the credit agencies know you by that number. It doesn't matter what you change your name to. That number is your name. So if it gets out, all kinds of people can do all kinds of things to you. But by giving us the first three numbers, that's not really going to hurt you.
Well, it's funny. A foreigner becoming a United States citizen, getting a Social Security number, but I think also people with green cards have Social Security numbers because they do pay into the system.
That's going to be a little different. Yeah, I was able to tell that from.
Yeah. What, are they getting numbers based on where they get their green card?
Yeah, actually the number is based on where you get your number, not really where you're born. But in most cases, people get their numbers where they're born.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's easier to say it that way. All right, let's take another phone call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, how you doing? My name is Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, what's going on, dude?
It's going pretty good.
Oh, that's cool.
How's it going with you?
Pretty good. Not bad.
All right.
All right, I have a couple things to say.
Okay.
Like the Scud missile thing in, they found the Scud missiles in that boat coming from North Korea.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I heard about that a month ago, that North Korea is sending Scud missiles to Iran, is it? And it's, you know, it's taking so long to get there that we have, you know, months to deal with it, but this boat is slowly making its way to Iran, and everybody's wondering what's going to happen.
I don't get to deal with that. I mean, didn't they learn their lesson last time, like, in Vietnam? Like, not that we kicked their butts or anything.
Well, I don't think we kicked the North Koreans' butts in Vietnam. I think we did that in Korea.
Yeah, well, anyway, but it's still, they shouldn't be starting up. I mean, we just got through another war with Iran.
Well, who says anything about war? They just want, you know, they want some form of defense for something. Who says it's against us?
Yeah, but you never know. I mean, they said they'll send them to Syria or Iraq or Iran. I'm not sure.
I imagine they'll send them to whoever pays them for them, and we do the same thing, you know? I mean, I'm not standing up for them, but who can blame them for wanting to sell something?
But North Korea really doesn't care what Iran does with the Scud missiles. Matter of fact, ideologically, North Korea and Iran are diametrically opposed. They don't really like each other that much, but hey, Iran's got the money, North Korea wants some money, and they'll give them some obsolete missiles for it. Why not?
Yeah, Bush was saying, though, in his conference today that we might have to set up some sort of a defense here.
Well, that's something we'll be watching closely.
I just heard about that a little while ago.
Uh-huh.
Idiots, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going on with them, but...
Well, you got to watch those North Koreans. You know, it's a crazy country. It's almost as crazy as Albania was.
Yeah.
Very isolated, very mysterious.
All right, I have something else to say about the 7-Eleven thing.
Okay.
All right, how come they say that there's, like, no maintenance that has to be done in that place? But how come I saw the other day it was locked up, and I drove past it with my friends, and it was closed?
You found a 7-Eleven that was closed?
On a 7-Eleven that was closed.
Wow, and...
Well, in Medford.
Did you see what was going on inside?
It was like a bunch of white and blue trucks outside, brooms and stuff in the back.
White?
Like something like a motel cleaning thing, or cleaning it and stuff. And
but if they were inside cleaning it, why did they have to lock the doors?
I have no idea. Why
maybe it was being fumigated.
Maybe it was slave labor and they didn't want them to escape.
I don't know, but they were like, I don't know, it was all locked up or something. Like,
wow.
I couldn't pass and I couldn't get in. There were civilian cars or anything. It was all like weird, like...
You know, Newsday missed that one.
They missed it?
Oh, yeah, they didn't report that. That should have been a front page story.
Yeah, 7-Eleven
closed by blue and white trucks.
Yeah.
People locked inside, can't get out.
All right, my friend's 23 years old.
All right, that's an accomplishment.
I know, listen, he's actually 21, and they say the drinking age at this one store we went to, the food emporium, can't buy beer unless you're 23.
Well, I've seen that in a couple of places, and, you know, it's crazy. It's drinking ages of any sort, I think, are crazy. It's responsibility you have to have, and that comes at any age.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you know, the state says minimum is 21, but, you know, a store is not bound by law, except that law, to sell liquor to any, you know, they can sell it to anybody they want. And if they say they're not going to sell anything to someone under 23, you know, they just won't do it.
I think it's wrong, though, but the drinking age is 21.
Don't buy it there.
Yeah, it makes for unpleasantness, but, right, don't buy it there. Go someplace else and take other people with you.
And we just, like, took the beer and went somewhere else.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I think the problem is that a lot of people are very irresponsible in this country, so they think that the way to deal with it is to raise the drinking age. Other countries, it's not like that. You don't really have a drinking age, and people just know the effects that alcohol has, and they, you know, they're careful with it. And, you know, they're a lot more mature, and there's a lot less restrictions.
I just want to know, do you have, like, the statistics of, like, how the drinking and driving accidents, if it went down at all?
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm sure it has gone down. Well, they tell you it's really dramatic. I'm sure that's a bit over-exaggerated.
The thing is, since 1920, okay, the accident rate and death rate resulting from accidents has gone down on a steady rate constantly. It just keeps going down and down and down and down and down. Despite the fact we have more cars, despite the fact we have more roads, more everything. Okay? And no matter what the government does with ridiculous speed limits, with drunk driving enforcement, no matter what they do, it just keeps going down at the same rate no matter what. So
it's going to hit zero at some point then, isn't it?
Theoretically, it's supposed to hit zero, but my feeling is that it's going to go down by such a small rate that the zero is not going to happen in our lifetimes.
Well, that's a disappointment.
Dude, I have somebody else who wants to talk to you, right?
All right, make it quick.
Cool. Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
I was just in Jamaica.
Yeah?
And what you said about the DWI rate going down.
Yeah?
Well, that's true, but the number of people, I forgot the word they call it, like underage drinking.
Uh-huh.
The number of them has gone up, them getting caught, but the death rate...
Well, also, the definition of underage drinking has changed. It used to be underage, used to be under 18, now it's under 21. Of course it's going to go up.
I know, but the death rate has stayed the same. I talked with a lady when I was on vacation, and I talked to a lady who worked for the government, and was telling me this because down there, and, you know, I was down in Jamaica, there's no drinking age. And, you know, I brought it up with her on a bus, because my parents didn't want me drinking, of course.
Uh-huh.
And I brought it up with her, and she... You know, she was just telling me that, you know, the number of people that were drinking before 21 was because, I mean, you get most of the 18 to 21-year-olds, like, they're allowed to drink, and then, like, a month away, they're told they can't drink. So they didn't want to do this, so they keep drinking anyway.
Uh-huh.
And then they get caught.
Well, you see, lots of times these rules backfire and just make people disobey them more. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and it's just like, what was the point of changing it?
I remember when it changed here, the drinking age was 18, then it became 19, and then it became 21. And I remember people that were legal one day and then illegal the next day, and it just kept eluding them. And they were convinced it was going to be 23 by the time they got to be 21.
I mean, that's what it's going to be by the time...
Well, basically,
know,
they just told the state of New York to stick it.
But, I mean, by the time I become 21, the drinking age is probably going to become like 25, 27. You know?
Nah, I think it's not going to change from 21 at all. It's not going to go up, because 21 used to be the voting age, believe it or not. It's considered what
that's right.
It's called in legal terms the age of majority. Basically, at one time, you weren't really responsible for anything until you were 21. That means you couldn't take inheritances, anything like that, vote, whatever. And they lowered the voting age to 18. They lowered a whole bunch of other things to 18 because they figured, hey, if you're old enough to serve in the armed forces, die for your country, you should be old enough to take responsibility for yourself.
Well,
right?
That doesn't hold true for alcohol, though.
But, yes, it doesn't hold true for alcohol. That's... And, of course, you know, the same people who tried to push the 21-year-old drinking age are the same people who believe that you should be jailed for DWI just on suspicion without being formally charged.
Yeah, but when you think about it, though, I mean, you should go to war and you can vote before you can drink.
Well, I guess when you come back from war, if you've been there for 3 years, you can celebrate. I don't know. I don't know what the feeling is behind that. So, sir, we got to go.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
All right, later.
A feature coming up here, and then we'll come back to the phone calls. You know, I just finished. I'm finishing off the last of these M&Ms here. Do you know what? Look at this. I just had a yellow one, and the last three are also yellow. Every last four of these were yellow. I mean, I don't know what that means. But I think it's kind of... Is
it's
it ominous, or is it
yeah,
good?
It could be.
Is but yellow a lucky
did
color?
Did you ever empty a package of M&Ms in your hand, and you
they
notice
do
you have a certain...
melt in your hands. They do.
Yes,
because
they
it
leave,
happened to
they
me.
Leave color, you know, rainbow colors in your hands. But you start eating them one by one, color by color, until you try to get the same amount in every color.
Right. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And that's not what happened to me here. I have
and
nothing but yellow.
You narrow it down. Mind. Yeah. Then it's a habit that people pick up. I don't know if any psychologists have ever done any research on this.
It's something to you know, I had a box of chocolate chip cookies the other day. And without realizing what I was doing, there were about eight of them left, you know, those Entenmann's ones that everybody
uh-huh.
gets. And I realized that I had stacked, you know, chocolate chip cookies on top of each other, like one facing up, one facing down, like sort of making a sandwich out of them.
Yeah.
And it attracted a crowd, really. That I guess either they were impressed at what I had done or they thought I was crazy or something. I don't know.
Either that or they had tried it before and failed.
I don't understand what I was doing, what I was thinking, why it happened, but it did. And that's just the way it is. It's time to step out and venture forward into the wild and wet and ask the question that is on everyone's mind at some point in their lives, sometimes many points in their lives. That question being, of course, what's for lunch?
You have reached typewriter repair.
Whoops, I called the wrong number. No, we don't want typewriter repair. We'll just try that again. Mistakes always happen.
Good morning. Today, Friday, March 6th, at all cafeterias for breakfast, oatmeal, French waffles with syrup, hash browns, sausage links, and eggs to water. Lunch is clam chowder, a gyro with pita, tuna, melt, vegetable pocket, shoestring fries, zucchini hot dogs, deli, and a salad bar. Dinner is clam chowder, cheese lasagna, shrimp chow mein, baked fish, fried rice, Italian mixed vegetables, spinach hot dogs, and a salad bar. Danny Bryce Food Mall is closed tonight. Thanks again for calling me up at Meal.
You know, I think she thinks that tuna and melt are two different things. There is definitely a comma between the tuna and the melt. Having tuna, melt, and something else for lunch there. But that's fine, that's fine. That's you know, the kind of things that we have here at Stony Brook. And
is it the same lady every week?
Of course. It's a lunch lady. Would you have it any other way?
I don't know.
No, of course
I don't
not.
Eat lunch here.
Well, then you're missing one of the great cultural things that has erupted here. I think it's called a cultural barrier or something like that, but it's something that has affected nearly everybody that lives on this campus and is one of the most...
Yes,
this is our highest rated feature, I'll have you know.
Yes, it's caused inordinate weight gain in several people.
Well, yeah, in some instances it has. In other instances, it's resulted in weight loss, but
yes,
I'm not quite sure.
People have been avoiding it.
Well, I'm not quite sure how that works. I don't want to get into the technicalities of it, but this is a very important feature, and we do take it quite solemnly here. But it's over, so enough of it. Okay, 632-6500 is our alternate number. 632-6901 is our first number. And we don't have much time, so let's try and get through these calls. Again, if there's anybody out there that wants to be tracked down as far as where they were born, give us your first three numbers on your Social Security card. You know, people aren't doing that. They're afraid. They think if we get those first three numbers, we'll find out who they are. And I guess it's wise to guard those numbers. But the first three won't... I mean, Matt told everybody in the world his.
Yes, because I know there are millions of other people with the same three numbers, so you'll know who I might be.
Right, and they're all named Matt. No, that's not true. You should have seen the look of panic in his eyes. All right, 632-6901. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, my name's Bill Palsy. I've been on hold for 57 minutes.
No. You have not been on hold. Your phone has been ringing. We don't put our listeners on hold.
That's even worse. You fucking bad.
All right. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. I was wondering, did anybody listen to Turmoil last night?
Well, since Turmoil's on Wednesday nights, I doubt it.
Oh, what was the show on last night that Kevin does?
You mean the Psychedelic Attesson?
No, last
that's this
night.
You must mean Kevin Kavarik.
Yeah.
I don't know the name of the show, but it's on Friday nights, but that doesn't help you because obviously you know that.
Oh.
What about it?
Did some guy come in and do poetry?
It's quite possible. Things like that happen all the time here.
Because my friend was supposed to do that. I don't know if he did it or
not. Oh. Well, I suggest you ask your friend.
Because I haven't talked to him all day, and he said he was supposed to do it.
Uh-huh.
Because Kevin works at my school.
Okay.
So.
Well, you know, it's kind of embarrassing that we're here in the same room and we don't know what went on, but, you know, I'm sure something happened and it was acceptable.
Okay. And I just want to say hi to a couple people.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, I want to say hi to Ryan.
Yeah.
The Dackel.
Yeah.
And Jason.
Okay.
And also, if there's anyone out there that knows where I can get a witch board, please tell me. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling.
A what?
And you can, I guess, tell her by calling us. Good morning.
Yeah, hello.
How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Matt or Eric?
This is Eric.
Hey, Eric, how are you?
I'm good.
I'm Tom.
Hi, Tom.
I'm calling in because I wanted to say that postal worker that called in before, he was right on, man. He was right on. You guys are communists slagging the postal workers.
I mean, you know.
No, he was right on, man.
Hey, wait a minute. The Postal Service is a government-owned agency, okay? It's a government-owned business. That's as bad as communist as you can get.
Wait, is it still owned by the government? I don't know if it's
owned
by the government.
It's still owned by the government. It's, you know, semi-independent.
I used to think like you when I was in college, because you guys are nothing but left-wing liberals, and you don't know what you're talking about.
Wait a minute. I use UPS and Federal Express. I'm supporting free enterprise.
Wait, man, he is right. I mean, we are, you know... I mean,
yeah,
come on,
man.
Let's face it.
You know, who are you?
We don't know what we're talking about. We definitely
you
know that.
You probably voting for Jerry Brown, right? We'll see what happens when Jerry Brown's going to ruin this country because people like you are voting for him. He's fooling you. You guys are tricked.
Well, you know, it's a lesson we have to learn. You know, we have to learn it on our own.
I mean, who are you voting for? Actually, we shouldn't say that. You shouldn't be voicing your political views on the air, you know?
Right. Plus, I'm not sure if Gus Hall is still running.
Can I say something?
Why?
I think that Bush is our only choice, and I want to say that. I think you people should stand by our president, man.
All right.
There's no one else out there. Who else is out there? Buchanan's the only
one. That's the problem. That's what we've been trying to tell people. There's no one else out there.
Yeah, man. So Bush is our only choice.
So Bush is out there all by himself.
It doesn't necessarily make him the best choice. It makes him...
Stand by your president. Buchanan's a commie, too. Where was he during the war?
Which war?
Which war? What war do you think?
Not Panama?
He was alive during several wars. Which one?
Panama, Grenada, Iraq, Korea, Vietnam.
World War II?
World War II?
No, the most recent war. The one that everyone's fresh in all their
Oh,
mind,
the Gulf
man.
War. Okay.
Our troops were number one over there. You know? And that guy was right, man. Who was bringing... The postal workers were the one bringing him the letters and all our support.
Well, who brought them food, though? That's what I want to know.
You know,
the army.
The lunch lady. That's right.
Lunch lady brought the lettuce over there?
No, she brought the food over there. She brought the tuna and the milk.
Yeah, well, but, they should be commended, too.
Better than MREs.
All right.
They should be commended, too.
All right, well, commending everybody, but we got to move on because we only have 2 minutes left and we want to get through some of these phone calls. Good morning.
Hello, man. The thing that was blown before, that was the trombone. And the other thing is a girl called in before last week about, what is it, Clockwork Orange?
Yeah.
And if you look in our local libraries, they not only have books, but they also have VHS tapes, and it's in 9 out of 10 libraries if you just look.
That's a good film. And you're saying it's unedited in the libraries, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow, that's...
I don't know about these other postal services guys, but the postal service by where I live, they're closed on Thursdays. They're not open... They're closed more than they're open, so I don't know about work, and they sleep half the time.
Okay, apart from that, though, when was the last time you checked to make sure they were closed on Thursday? Because I know that Long Island used to have all these crazy hours, and just recently they lifted it, and everyone's open 5 days or 6 days a week now.
Really cool. The one that I went to last Thursday, tried to mail something, the doors are locked.
Really?
And there's people in there, and that's what I don't understand. If there's people in there, why are the doors locked?
Well, the same reason why banks close at 3, yet there are still people in there all the way up until 5.
Well,
just because they don't take more letters doesn't mean they're not moving them around.
Post offices should be open until 5, though. That's my impression.
Is it that hard for just... They could even leave the doors open where you could put in your mail, because I know the outside boxes don't get transferred until 6 p.m.
There's no reason why that should not be the case. I agree with you.
All right. And, you know, because it's just these muscle heads calling them, all support your president and we're big, tough postal services. You know, whatever.
Well, that's what you're going to get, you know. Listen, sir, we got to go. We're out of time.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
See you tonight.
Though. All right. Good luck. See you tonight.
Good
luck on,
great question.
On your post office. Okay, you got to close out with this question now because we are plumb out of time.
Why is it that there is such a high incidence of former postal workers who go on mass killing sprees?
That's something that's been studied a couple of times. You know, postal workers cherish their jobs, and I guess when they get fired, they sometimes take exception to it. Because you'll find that most of those postal employees that went around massacring people had just lost their jobs or lost them soon after.
Maybe for violating the manual.
Well, you're not supposed to massacre people, I know that. Anyway, it's been a fascinating evening. Matt, thanks for stopping by. And, you know, we learned a lot about postal regulations. I'd like to leave you with one vital bit of information, okay? I'm trying to pick the best one here. All right. Carrier route pre-sort level rate pieces must not be included in a 5-digit ZIP plus 4 rate mailing. Okay. Till next week. Hang in there. Peace. All that kind of thing.